When the book of Revelation is written, John is old. John is old. John is tired. John has been the object of capital murder. And when they could not burn him up, they sentenced him to a life of hard labor. He's around 90 years old. The average man in John's day died before 50. So he's ancient. So here he is, on the Isle of Patmos in the midst of the Aegean Sea. Though there are prisoners and guards all around him constantly, John's alone. John is misunderstood because of the rumors that preceded him to the island. The stories of the circumstances that brought him to Patmos. People give John a wide berth. They don't know about him and his strange religion, people who don't burn up in a pot of oil. That's funny. Let's give him distance. And so the book of Revelation begins on some Lord's Day. And Jesus just shows up to give John hope in the midst of his despair. That moment appears in John chapter 4. Let's just pray a moment. Father, lead us into this brief reflection. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Brother Jenko, for reading it. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. Before Revelation 4, the last time that John has seen Jesus was when he was ascending in clouds into heaven. That's 60 years ago. But John's mind, when he saw Christ, must have gone back to that time. That glorious moment mixed with fear and awe and wonder. The Christ who had so tenderly cared for the disciples and fed them and slept with them and taught them, sometimes even fussed at them. They watched him ascend in clouds up into heaven. And then after Jesus left them, choir, the Holy Ghost descended upon them, gave them power. They became performers of miracles. They spoke in other tongues. And they launched the Christian movement in the heydays of the Christian church. The issue for today is simple. We arrive at chapter 4 of Christ's revelation to John concerning Christ's ministry. On that Sabbath morning in the first chapter of the book of Revelation, John sees Jesus standing in glory in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. But by the time, watch me now, that John sees Jesus in the first chapter of Revelation, he's old, he's bent over, he's wrinkled, he's dim of sight and maybe hard of hearing. All the disciples are dead but him. And here is Jesus standing between seven golden candlesticks, looking as young can be, vibrant, glowing with health and strength. But the sight of Jesus lifts John, and more than that, the Bible is clear, we talked about it, Jesus reaches out of the vision and suddenly touches John, and John feels this creative power coursing through his old body. Straightens the old man up. Jesus says to John, write the things which thou hast seen and the things which are and the things that will take place after this. Revelation 1:19. So today, before we go to this table, the issue for us is, what did John see? And what was there in what John saw that gave him hope in the midst of his despair? Jesus is about to unfold to John the future of the church. Watch me now, but it will not be pretty. Because his first assignment in this prophetic unveiling is to send seven letters to churches that John knows. In fact, he may have actually been a personal friend of some of the leaders of one of these churches. He may have preached in Smyrna, preached in Laodicea, preached in Ephesus. He may have baptized some of the members of these churches. But in sweeping panorama, John has shown lost love, cruel persecution, sickening compromise, outright apostasy, half-baked, incomplete reformation, sickening, disappointed hope in the coming of the Lord, and finally just plain hypocrisy. The old man, revived by Jesus, suddenly sees the church as it really is, and all the despair comes back on John, because at the end of the vision, Jesus is standing outside the church. John's face must be wet with tears. Despair now waves back over him again. The hope that he had in seeing Christ is now broken, because he sees the church broken. He sees the church as it really is. You better be glad today that Jesus is kind enough not to let us see the church as it really is. You talk about despair. Hey, let me take it closer. You better be thankful today that Jesus has never let you see what you really are. Come on, somebody. Ellen White says that if Jesus pulled back the curtain and let us see ourselves as we are, we would give up in hope and would believe we could not be saved. Instead, Christ cushions your view of yourself and covers you with the grace of Jesus Christ. A trend is about to get started for John in Revelation. If you read the book through, you know that there are other times when the scenes are so bad, the information is so graphic, the news is so terrifying that John sometimes faints and weeps. He will do so in chapter 5. Because the news about how we really are is not good news. If Jesus decided tomorrow to treat you the way you deserve, you wouldn't wake up tomorrow morning. I done read my Bible. I think it says the wages of sin are what? Come on, y'all. But the gift of God is what? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Christ has always covered us. Come on and say amen out there. Christ has always covered us. He's always cushioned us. But John is given a view of the church, bam, just like it is. Crooked, just like it is. Hypocritical, just like it is. Compromising, just like it is. Apostatizing, just like it is. He's given the whole ball of wax, and John needs something to help him out. That's the challenge for us on Communion Sabbath. Bills need to be paid. Children need to be reared. I've decided, having reared three sons, that the main purpose of children is to humble parents. I want all the parents to say amen. These little creatures. Bills need to be paid, children need to be reared, health needs to be maintained. I found out this past Monday, got to have cataract surgery again. So I'm wearing glasses today. Can't see a lick. Pull these down, that sign is a blur. Put them on, light comes in the morning. Health needs to be maintained, marriages have challenges. The church does not seem to be, to me, sometimes what I need, and maybe Christ himself seems to be pushed aside in my life. But if I listen, he is knocking and calling and declaring to John, look up, John, for if you look up, you will see there's a door open in heaven. I have news for you today. I don't care how bad your life is. You have straight access to glory. Sinners pray prayers that are faster than the speed of light. Come on, somebody. You pray now, he hears now. Look up, John. Look through the mist. Look through the condition of the church. Look through the discouragement. There is a door open in heaven. And I will show you things that will come hereafter. And what John sees is heaven itself. He's shown the headquarters of the universe. But he's shown something else. He's shown something else. As he looks into heaven, he sees something very shocking. Verse 10. Look at John 4 and verse 10. The 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne. If I go to Revelation 5, verses 7 and 8, Joel, I find out that these 24 elders are people from earth. Oh, y'all way too calm for me. See, he's just seen the church, y'all, and the church winds up being a hypocrite. The church has apostatized. The church has fallen short. That's what John has seen, and suddenly the door opens in heaven, and he sees human beings in glory. Somebody opened the door. Somebody got in. For the first time, a human being is seen that human beings will get to the very throne of God. Come on, Cecil. That lifts my spirits. I figure if 24 guys can make it, O. Henry Wright can make it. Come on, somebody. John needs to know, O'Neill, that salvation works. Somebody is going to be saved. I know 24 is a small number, but you got to start somewhere. We'll talk about that more in Revelation 7. So he sees former sinners. Y'all just too calm for me. He sees former sinners sitting on God's throne. Huh? Folks that maybe used to lie. Folks that maybe did some stealing, come on. Folks who maybe missed some church services. Folks who maybe robbed God of tithe. Folks who maybe even went through divorce. We don't know who these 24 elders are, or I'm going to tell you in chapter 7. We don't know for sure in chapter 4 who they are. All we know is they some of us. And they're in heaven. Because what John sees of the church leaves him very, very discouraged. Jesus outside, Jesus knocking, nobody opening. But now we know somebody did something right. He sees God. Now he sees God the Father. We know this from reading Revelation 5, because Jesus is going to show up later. So John, come on, Heskey, he sees the big man. God himself. Now, I don't know how you all are, choir, but I've always wanted to see God. Come on, y'all. Now, I mean, I love Jesus, but I'm God. The man. The main cause. This being who seems so effulgent and beyond me, I'm almost sometimes afraid to call his name. John, see, here he is. God. Now, when y'all get there, y'all can check out the mansions and the tree and the grass. I want to see the main man. I want to look at him. God, there you are. Are you really God? That's what I'm asking. Are you really God? Jesus is your daddy? All this power runs the whole universe. John sees him. He sees colors and beauty. He sees him sitting on the throne. John sees the power and awesomeness that surrounds God. It's represented by thundering and lightning and the presence of the Spirit of God, verse 5. John sees evidence of God's creative power. These strange creatures, cosmic creatures are there. Eyes and heads and all kind of funny stuff. John says, and God is just calm. This calm power, this calm, in all this confusion, God is calm and peaceful and in charge. Now listen to those idiots, those people the other night in that debate. I said, these are going to be in charge? This is what's going to run this country? Oh, no. Come on, y'all. There's a door open in heaven. Somebody say amen. I see real power. I see the one who keep control all these others who want to have power. There's a power and glory that will keep his hand on whoever winds up being president. I don't care what party, what person. Put him in. He ain't running nothing. God's in charge of this place. John saw it. They begin to glorify. And John saw that in heaven, all they do is shout. Praising God. See, some of y'all ain't never shouted. Very poised in church. Everything must be so, so, so. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You wait till you get to glory. You're going to lose it. Come on, somebody now. Some of you Negroes, or some of you folk who have never shouted, you're going to shout your head off. You're going to lose it. You're going to take that white robe and throw it up. Hallelujah! Lose your cool, sure enough. You quiet folk. John sees them. Angels, strange creatures, 24 elders, just shouting, shouting. The presence of God brings joy and confidence. God is real. God is real. God is so very real. When the doctor told me that, folk, I was driving around long distance wise, I couldn't see but about 15 feet in front of me. It's the first time since I've been preaching here that I see the back of the church. See, I faked you out, didn't I? I can read that number, 12, 14, 28, 29. Tells me how long I've been preaching. Where's Anwar? That's why I preached over time all the time, Anwar. I couldn't read that sign. I realized that the Lord's been driving my car. I couldn't see street signs. Didn't want to tell my wife. Honey, take a look at that sign. It's so and so and so and so and so. You can't see the sign? Well, you know, just read it for me. What I'm saying to you, folk, we have never in our life been without the controlling, subduing, providing, protecting presence of God. He's always been in charge. We just didn't see it. John gets a chance to see it. Hey, John, that's who's keeping you alive. That's who gives you strength to break them bricks. That's who kept you from burning in the fire. There he is, the man, the real man, God. May the Lord help us in the midst of life's woes and terrors. Look up. There's a door in heaven. And living there is God Almighty. What do you say, church? Let's go now and worship together. Let's kneel before one another and wash feet. Let's remember that He who saved us stooped to bless. Then let us come back and rejoice in this place. What do you say?
Amen.
We have a place for couples. Play me something, Heskey. We have a place.